Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 6.
Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you once again for the privilege of coming into your house, Lord, knowing that you meet with us here, and Lord, that we can worship you and open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts and in our lives. Bless your word, bless us tonight, and Lord, help us to grow in your grace and point us toward you, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "To what purpose is this waste?" Isn't that amazing, the comment that was made? Not by the Pharisees. To what purpose is this waste was made by, we find here, his disciples, specifically Judas Iscariot. But the title of the message is simply, "To what purpose is this waste?" Or, "The price of loving Jesus Christ." Amen. The price of loving Jesus Christ. How much is he worth to us? Amen. How much? What is the value of our Savior? What are we willing to spend? And when you consider this word waste, to what purpose is this waste? It comes from the word apaleia, which means utter destruction or complete ruin. In other words, I'm willing to spend myself as the Lord did to utter destruction. Was he not completely destroyed? His life was taken from him. He shed his blood, but praise God, he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. And so that is really the price we should be willing to give of ourselves. And if we don't know really how to work that, or how that works in our lives, we ought to at least say, "God, show me how that works, Lord. Show me how I might be the living sacrifice, the servant that you would have me to be." So tonight we're just going to consider a few thoughts this evening. We're going to see a very precious ointment. We're going to notice the opposition of indignation, the Lord's correction, and the dividing factor. And so we'll consider these four thoughts very quickly tonight. And look with me again in verse 6. And notice this was precious ointment. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious or costly ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Now, we find here none other than Mary of Bethany. She knew how to worship the Lord. And I would dare say, and a lot of theologians have said, that she understood. She was not one of the Marys that that visited the Lord's sepulcher when they were going to anoint the body of Christ. We have Mary Magdalene that was there, and Mary the mother of James. But see, Mary of Bethany, she did not need to know that what was already taking place, because the Lord had already revealed it to her. And the Lord says, you know, this was done in preparation for my burial. So she was in tune, really, with the Lord, was she not? You remember Mary and Martha, right? So where was Mary? She was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is Mary in this particular case? She is in tune with what God is saying. She understood. The other disciples did not understand, but Mary of Bethany understood what was taking place, what the Lord was getting ready to do, and she made preparation for it in advance. That's a good thing, because the other two Marys that went afterwards, did they get to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he was already risen, already rose again from the dead, and so that opportunity had passed, and we're not finding fault with the other Marys, but the wonderful truth is here that this Mary here of Bethany was in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that God wants all of us to be in tune with what his will is and what his way is for our lives? And this disciple of the Lord definitely had that. So here she was willing to invest this precious ointment. And then notice this opposition of indignation. Verse 8 says, "But when his disciples saw it..." Now let's give credit where credit is due. Judas was the ringleader. Amen. He was the ringleader. But the sad case was the other ones followed suit as well. And so it says, but when his disciples saw it, so the other disciples were involved, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And that's not what the Lord was concerned about. He was concerned about the sacrifice and his disciples understanding their relationship with him and what he was getting ready to do for them and what God was going to prepare them to be able to do in the future. And they were not in sync. They were not in tune with that. But praise the Lord for God's long suffering and his patience and his kindness toward all of his disciples. And he didn't really upbraid them, but he did share these truths with them because he was wanting to point them, as he does us here today, in the right direction. So as we consider this, notice the Lord's correction here in verse 10. When Jesus understood it, now he was in the flesh. He was the God-man, and so he dealt with the limitations of the human body. Amen. So he was not that he ever stopped being God, but he understood what was taking place. And notice, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." She did a good thing. And don't you know that conflicted with what the disciples were thinking? They were thinking, "Oh no, this was a great waste that was done." Did they have different ideas of what could have been done with that ointment? And by the way, here's the funny thing about it: that ointment did not belong to any one of them. That ointment belonged to one person and one person only, and that one person had every right to do with it with what she willed. Amen. And she willed to splurge, spend, and waste it, if you will, on the Lord Jesus Christ because she valued. Listen, so some people are willing to spend a great amount of money for things that maybe other people wouldn't think it would be worth it. But here's the thing. Mary thought the Lord is worth it. Amen. And I would dare say, listen, there is nothing you can spend on the Lord that wouldn't be worth it. After all that he's given to us. So here's this case where Mary is just sitting there. Listen, follow this. She does not say a word. And the Lord intervenes on her behalf and says, "Why trouble ye the woman?" Listen to what the Lord says. "For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Now watch this, verse 11. "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." You know one thing the Lord knew? The heart of Mary. Amen? So she was in step here, and the Lord is correcting the disciples here to give them understanding. They got this wrong. They didn't get it right. And so the Lord was teaching them, for one thing, humility. Don't jump out thinking you know what's going on. Don't get the cart before the horse. And notice what the Lord says. Verse 13, "Verily," or "truly, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached," that's here tonight, over 2,000 years later, "in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Wow. Wow, that was never to be forgotten, what she did for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? "What they have done for me will never be forgotten." Amen? The sacrifice that we would make for the Lord Jesus Christ will never be forgotten. Isn't that a good thing? And so that's where the Lord wants us to be. Now we find this dividing factor. Now, I'm just going to give you my conjecture. I can't say this. We don't really have a clear-cut understanding of this, but it appears, I'm just going to say it appears, this may have been the differentiating factor where Judas set his heart. He was going to do this, but this correction may have put Judas over the top. Amen? So notice what happens here. Verse 14, "Then one of the 12," then, when is then? Right after this event. Right after the Lord had graciously corrected all the disciples, he didn't single out Judas. He said, "But I want you to know what this woman has done was a good thing." Amen? And I would dare say Judas did not agree, not even a little bit. He was in opposition to the Lord. Verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests. What did he go? He didn't go to commend the Lord before the chief priests, but what does he do? And verse 15, and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? I wonder who him might be. Do you wonder who him, or do we know exactly? And by the way, notice what he didn't call him, I'll deliver the Lord, I'll deliver Jesus Christ. No, I'll deliver him to you. And here's the crazy thing, they knew who him was. Because they were after him also, weren't they? And so, he says, I'll deliver him unto you. And verse 15, and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Listen, and from that time, that same time, verse 14, then, and from that time, he sought opportunity, that's Judas, to betray him. To betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The betrayal that was taking place. Hold your place right here. We may or may not come back. But let me just reveal something to you here in the Gospel of John. Look at chapter 12. And this was, of course, after the resurrection of Lazarus. And look at chapter 12. Verse 1 says this, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him, then took who? Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So he was the spokesperson, wasn't he? He was the one that was laying it out there. And notice, again, the Lord's response, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. So that was her purpose. That was a revelation that she has kept this aside for me. She was willing to spend this on me. For the poor ye have always with you, but me ye have not always. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, a little more information, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So here we have the mention of who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is saying this. He says, what are you willing? What is the value that you are willing to place on the Lord Jesus Christ? What is he worth to us? That's an important thought. Let me ask you this. Is he worth some of our time every day? Yes. In prayer? Yes. Is he worth our time in the Word of God? Is he, what is he worth? What is he worth? He's asking us to give him our hearts, is he not? My son, give me thine heart. Because if he has our heart, he has everything, does he not? He has everything. If God has our heart, he can do with us as he wills. And why is it so important for us to give the Lord our heart? That means if we give God our heart, does that mean that we trust him? Does that mean that we don't have to defend ourselves if we trust him? That's where he wants us to be. Listen, the sheep allows themselves. In fact, I've heard this on more than one occasion that the sheep does not resist the slaughter. The sheep takes it. Was the Lord the perfect Lamb of God? Did he resist when he was offered up? No. And he says he wants us to be a living sacrifice. And so he wants our hearts to be in tune with his. And to trust him, because God works out how many things for our good? So does that mean, if God works all things for our good, is that both good and bad in our estimation? Would that be both good and bad in our estimation? So we can trust him with how much? So when we complain, we do complain. When we complain, are we displaying any faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's in control? We're not doing that, are we? Can we trust the Lord in all things? That's the real... See, we think, sometimes we look at this and we think, oh, a monetary gift. God wants our hearts more than anything else. Do you know why Mary of Bethany was willing to give that ointment? Because the Lord had her heart. Amen? Do you know why Mary understood that this was in preparation for the sacrifice that he was getting ready to pay? Do you know why Mary knew that and the other disciples did not know that? Because God had Mary's heart. Do you know why when the Lord was over there and Martha was cumbered about much serving and Mary was at the feet of Jesus and Mary was able to choose that good part and that Martha missed out on? Do you know why Mary was able to do that? Because she had already given the Lord her heart. Guess what God wants us to give him? Our heart. And so tonight, God says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And when I have your heart, not most, but all things will be well. And we will honor and glorify the Lord. If we give the Lord our heart, and why would we give the Lord our heart? Is the Lord trustworthy? Can we trust the Lord with our heart? If we will trust the Lord with our heart, he will begin to show us some things that we haven't even seen yet. On this side of eternity. Imagine this. Listen. We will worship God throughout all eternity. We will worship the Lord throughout all eternity. But here's how God does that. Ready? Why did we begin to worship the Lord? Because he showed us our sins, and he showed us that he paid for them, and that if we put our faith and trust in him, we'll have eternal life. And so we received eternal life, and we worship the Lord. Isn't that amazing? We worship the Lord because of what he's given to us. And then he shows us the grace of God and the love of God and all the things that God had, all the promises of God on this side of eternity. He reveals them to us. And then when we, by faith, give our hearts to the Lord in trusting him for those things, he shows us more. And throughout all eternity, I'm convinced, I think Brother Bill Wyatt said it the best, God will pull back the curtain and he'll show us more things that we've never known about the Lord God himself. He's infinite. Throughout all eternity, God is going to show us things about himself that will cause us to worship him. Throughout all eternity, it will never grow old. We'll worship him because he will show us more about himself. And we'll bow down and we'll say, holy, holy, holy is our God. Amen? Holy, holy, holy is our God. And so tonight, to what purpose is this waste? To the glory of God. Amen? And to what purpose is our life? If it's not to the glory of God, you know what our life will be? A waste. If our life is not for God, every area that we don't give to the Lord, I promise, I'm convinced of it, when we see the Lord face to face, we'll say, we've wasted that part. And God says, we have an opportunity now to seek the Lord and to give him our heart, that he might have his will and way in each and every one of our lives. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, may you take the message you've given to us and embed it in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might be pliable and leadable in your hands, that we might follow. Lord, you don't drive us. You want to lead us, and you've called us to follow you. But that's a choice we must make. And Lord, I believe as we look to the Word of God, we see that truly, Lord, you are worthy of our whole heart. May you do a work here at Northwood Baptist Church in each and every heart, Lord, that we might be completely yielded and trusting you with it, that you might guide us into your paths, into your will. Bless again and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.